Let's take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And so I'll say this, I'm taking a few weeks and just spending some time. I started last week just emphasizing, and it's not because anybody has talked to me or there's any issues whatsoever. There are none. I just think sometimes we need to be reminded and refreshed about a few things. And so we're taking a few weeks on who we are as a Baptist church. And we don't worship a name or denominational headquarters somewhere. And so we're going to come through, and the simple way to be able to do it, and you can research this. You say, Pastor, this is awfully elementary. And, well, I believe that a lot of things we can go to the Bible with, they're actually basic, that the Lord will lay it out for us. But we are a Baptist church. And that term Baptist describes the doctrine that we hold to. And you say, well, such and such a denomination, they believe the same thing. This just gives an overview. At least it's a starting point on the doctrine that we hold to. And so we looked at it, and we're going to deal with the acrostic. I know several have looked at this several times, and it's just an easier way to be able to not just understand it, but be able to remember it. And we looked at Baptist last week, and the letter B means that we are Bible believers. The Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. We don't hold to a confession somewhere. We don't hold to a creed. We don't hold to man's opinion. We hold to what the Bible says. The Bible supersedes every opinion and statement of man. And you say, well, I appreciate some things that have been written. So do I. They need to be based on the Bible. And that's why we hold to some things, is because they're based on the Bible. And so we want it settled and making sure that we know, and we are Baptist around here. I mean, we are a Baptist church. When people join Granite State Baptist Church, they don't walk out of here saying that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist or I'm a Presbyterian. We're a Baptist, and that's who we are. And can I say this? And once again, we don't apologize for it, because it describes the doctrine that we hold to, okay? And so, but I also understand over church history, and I'll reiterate this over and over. You say, well, they weren't always called Baptist. I get that, okay? I understand that. In fact, someone was asking me middle of the week about the term Baptist, and Pastor Fielder, or Evangelist Fielder, asked me about it a few weeks ago. He said, when did the term Baptist start getting used? I said, in the studies I have, I said it was back during, just before the Reformation time and everything, when things were heating up. And I said, it really wasn't a term of endearment. And I said, it wasn't saying, hey, that's a great thing. I said, they actually started calling them Anabaptist. And they were rebaptizers. They were again baptizers, because they didn't hold to baby and infant baptism as being part of Bible doctrine. And so after salvation, which is what we believe, we'll get to it. After salvation, it's called believer's baptism. After we're saved, then we're baptized. And so they started baptizing people after salvation. People started saying, well, you're rebaptizers, you're Anabaptist. And it wasn't a term of endearment. They actually tried for it to be a derogatory term towards them. But anyway, it caught on. And so it identifies the doctrine that we hold to. So the B is the Bible is our authority in all matters of faith and practice. And so we're going to come down through, and I want you to see the letter A very simply. And I touched on this last week when I gave the adjective that describes us as being independent or unaffiliated. The A stands for the autonomy of the local church. And so as we look at this subject matter of the autonomy, that's a fancy word for just saying that we are self-governing, okay? We are indigenous. We are run by, we make the decisions here as this congregation. And I want you to see this, and I'm just going to share a few simple verses as we're moving forward. I shared some examples last week, and I'll make mention of those again. But in Colossians chapter 1, speaking of Christ, I want to start reading here in verse number 14, speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. May I remind us, what we believe from the Scripture is that Christ is the head of the church. May I say this? The pastor is not the head of the church. Some will say, well, you're the boss around here. No, actually, Christ is the boss, okay? And we answer to Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Now, in a practical application, let me say what that means. This distinction had to be made over church history and over these time periods because back in the 300s, you actually had the Catholic Church that married itself to the government. And so you had a state-run religion. May I remind us, they're not the only ones that have done that over the years. You actually get through the Reformation, and a lot of the denominations that started as a result of the Reformation, you have the Lutheran Church, and who was that started by? Luther, okay. Guess what? He went back to Germany. That became the state church of Germany. Okay, you have Knox, and you have some that went back to Scotland, and then you have the state church, the Presbyterian church, that actually became the state church there. You have the Anglican church that was the Church of England and a state-run church. May I say this? We don't find that in the Scriptures. We don't. And so you say, well, they've done some good things. It's not a biblical model. Okay? And so it's not that there is a hierarchy that is set up somewhere to be able to govern over all these individual churches, okay? You understand? Probably the number one model that we would think of would be the Catholic Church, how that their headquarters, yes, they are set up there at the Vatican, okay? And that's actually its own sovereign territory, the Vatican. Amazing, they're against walls too, but there's a wall around the whole thing. Anyway, that's another message, okay? But they are their own sovereign territory that is there, but all the Catholic churches underneath that, they all answer back. So when one thing comes down, it's supposed to filter all the way down through. And so you understand the structure that is there, that they are not independent, unaffiliated as far as congregational choice as we come into it. Now, when we speak of autonomy of the church, we understand that Christ is the head of the church, okay? He's the one that died for the church, was buried, and rose again. We understand that. We are not, and even in the Baptist realm, and I understand the term Baptist actually has several definitions and manifestations across even our region up here, okay? And then let alone you get outside this region, you never know what you're going to get when you walk inside of a Baptist church. But we understand even in the Baptist realm that there are actually denominational headquarters that have been set up. Now, here's where the fine line comes, and let me say this, is some will say, well, we don't govern over the churches, but we're actually just a network of affiliated churches. And so it's interesting because things like that get said, but yet a portion of your offerings get sent to a corporate headquarters somewhere. And then actually when national meetings take place, that the number of delegates that you're allowed to be able to have at that meeting is actually based upon, number one, the size of your church, which I get it, and then number two, the amount of offerings that's actually been sent in to the corporate offices that are there, okay? Can I say this? We come back into the New Testament and we see the model that the Lord Jesus Christ established, that the Apostle Paul established throughout the book of Acts and throughout early church history. It was in that location, for example, Concord, there was a group of believers that were there, and those believers, yes, there was a pastor of the church. We make no apology. I believe, and we'll get to it by the end of it, not today, but in a few weeks, that one of the offices of the church is the pastor, okay? But the pastor is not the dictator. The pastor is not the boss of the church. The pastor is not a little Jesus here on the earth to be able to guide and direct, okay? Pastors ought not to have that mentality of themselves. We answer to the Lord. But someone takes the oversight, and that's the pastor. That's what the Bible says. Take the oversight of the flock of God, okay? And so, but there is no corporate headquarters. We believe this, according to the scripture, that this congregation ought to decide and take care of this congregation. We believe that, okay? And as far as what goes on with the finances here, the direction of it, making sure that we're kept pure, we're kept holy, that false doctrine is not being brought into the church, that's all our responsibility. So can I say this? When it comes time, and I'm talking about 50 years from now or so, maybe when you have to get a new pastor, you're not just going to call up and they're going to assign one to Concord. That's not how it happens. It actually comes from this church being able to decide and pray and seek the Lord's face and say, God, who's the man that you have for this church to be able to be the pastor of this church? Now, let me reemphasize what I said. Maybe in about 50 years, okay? I'm just coming back to that so that you don't think he's setting us up. No. I'm just saying this church, this body, this congregation makes those decisions. When it comes time for the first of the year, we pray. We lay out, listen, we have a financial team that looks at, okay, what's the offerings been throughout this year? What are we looking at for budget? And then we bring it before the church. Guess what? The church votes and takes care of those things. It's not a matter of a dictatorship when it comes to saying, this is what's going to be done. No, I found out this, great wisdom and involvement is wonderful coming from a congregation, okay? And so we understand the autonomy of the local church. And so as we look at that autonomy, and I'll read this to you. I referenced it this past week, but look at 1 Corinthians 16. I didn't turn over there and read it, but I referenced it. This past week, we're talking about the autonomy of the local church, self-governing right here with this congregation. Now, with that, let me say this. You say, boy, I love it that we're just this congregation and we takes care of things. Yes, that's wonderful. But that also means when we get ready to build a building over there, there's no church headquarters somewhere that's going to write a check to be able to take care of it. Okay? And so we look at those things and say, well, that's the downside of all of it. No, it isn't. You know what's wonderful about this? I look at this right here and I say, you know something? The people of Granite State Baptist Church took possession of this property and this building, and look what God's allowed to be able to see accomplished. And then we're going to do the same thing as God allows us to be able to continue on. Okay? And so we see, I just want you to see on decisions that were made in the church too. And you say, well, I've got this philosophy. We go back into the book of Acts. I got some answers for the book of Acts too, if you get concerned about a church hierarchy governing over these other churches too. 1 Corinthians 16, look what Paul said in verse number 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Look at verse 3. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. I want to share just a simple thought out of this, that even the Apostle Paul, now how many would agree that the Apostle Paul was a unique preacher at a unique time? God used him to be able to establish several churches across the region, and so he was used of God to be able to see those churches established, but then also to be able to establish and set order inside those churches, to be able to ordain the elders and the pastors that were there, okay? And so, but then we come back to 1 Corinthians 16. This church is established, and he's talking about an offering that is being taken up and actually given instructions saying, here's how we need to conduct this offering. And he says, when this offering is taken up, okay, I've given order in the other churches, here's how we're going to do this. And it's talking about an offering being taken up from the Corinthian church that is going to be taken over to the church at Jerusalem, okay, to be able to help them. They were going through some bad times, some economic times, some persecution. So the other churches were helping out the church at Jerusalem. And Paul said in chapter 16, he said, listen, after you take up this offering, and I love this phrase because it shows the independence of the church and Paul even submitting to the leadership of the church there. He said, whomsoever ye appoint by your letters to bring this offering. And so I thought, what greater understanding to be able to say that Paul's saying, listen, even amongst your congregation, you approve. You know why that is? Here's how simple that is. Paul didn't know everybody inside that church. Paul was traveling around, but the leadership of that church knew who it was. Hey, can I just say this, just being honest? There's some people inside of a church you're not going to give the offering to. Say amen right there. How many of y'all? Oh, pastor, I don't know why you'd say that. Hey, that's just the truth. There was a church over in the Philippines, not even in America. Church over in the Philippines got upset. They were working inside the prison ministry, and a guy gets out of prison, coming faithful to church and serving the Lord. Guess what they had him start doing inside the church? Taking up the offering. Hey, listen, there's got to be, I understand some time and be able to prove yourself and everything. Then they get upset at the prison ministry because it's not real fruit because he took off with the offering. And I'm thinking, hey, oh, I would have thought, okay. I mean, maybe you would have thought before giving the guy that just got out of prison, okay, the keys to the coffers and to be able to take care of that, maybe a little more time to be able to get through that, be able to work. But here's what Paul said. He said, whomsoever ye approve. So in other words, that congregation saying, hey, here's the people that we're going to send to be able to take this offering over there to Jerusalem. And I believe that's the biblical way. I believe that Christ is the head of the church. As we read here in Colossians chapter number 1, I believe that overall, that's what the Baptists believe. We're not dictators. We're not authoritarian. And I try not to be. This is law. And one pastor told me this one time. He wasn't a pastor. He's stepped out into evangelism after he had pastored for 42 years. He said, I don't think a pastor ought to be a dictator. He said, but he ought to be accused of it every once in a while. And so I don't believe that's how we run the government of the church. But I believe this. I believe Christ is the head of the church. And guess who we're going to answer to for Granite State Baptist Church? We're going to answer to Christ. Now, if we had to fill out a yearly report and send it to a city somewhere and send it to some headquarters, and then they send their representatives and tell us everything that's wrong with our church, and then we say, but you haven't even been here, and you don't know what's going on. Christ is the head of the church. We believe in the autonomy of the local church, okay? We are independent. We are unaffiliated. And so that means this congregation right here is responsible for Granite State Baptist Church. We're responsible for tithing. We're responsible for giving to missions. We support our missionaries. We're responsible for building a building, okay? Now, if God chooses from outside to be able to say, hey, here's $1 million, get started on that. Hey, I'm not going to say, well, you're not a member of Granite State Baptist Church. I'm not going to take that $1 million. Oh, yeah, we will. And we'll use it for the glory of God. When it comes down to it, in fact, I had a man tell me, and he was part of a and some places call it a capital campaign, and they were raising millions of dollars for this building project. And he said, yeah, he said, with your stance on the Bible and being independent and unaffiliated, he said, really, it comes down to that congregation taking care of things, he said. And I said, well, who do we depend upon? We depend upon the Lord. And when it comes down to it, that's who we're going to depend upon, okay? And so that's part of being a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. And our church is not ashamed of that. And I remember when a lady got saved here at the church one time and hadn't grown up in church or anything, Miss Crystal was able to lead her to the Lord after one of the services downstairs and before we even moved up here. And I started talking to her. We started discipling her. And she was getting ready to be baptized. And I said, now, you understand, I said, you're getting baptized in a Baptist church. She said, I know, that makes me a Baptist. And man, she was as excited as could be. And I said, you know, I said, we ought to be that excited. It describes who we are, describes the doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe this, has handed down to us throughout the generations. I honestly believe that. I believe we can trace Bible doctrine all the way back to the time of Christ. You say, well, this denomination over here, they believe that. But yeah, but they're off on salvation. And they're off on the gifts. And they're off on eternal security. And they're off on this. That's why when we condense it and we look at it as a Baptist, we're supposed to have all these things in line. This is who we're supposed to be. Now, can I say one of the things that's not in this acrostic as we're looking down is what is the color of the carpet? Not worried about that. You know why? We don't have carpet. Not worried about, listen, there's some things, I'm not that worried about it. There's not going to be a church split here at Granite State Baptist Church over the color of the walls. Because first of all, it ought never get that direction. It ought never to get to that point. There's something wrong if that's what people are nitpicking over. I mean, there ought not to be a fight. And I use this. I gave the example to the ladies inside the prison on Saturday. I said, listen, I heard of a church. I said, they got arguing and fighting back and forth about which direction the toilet paper comes off the roll. And I said, everybody in their right mind knows there's only one way and it comes off the top. And I said, every other way is wrong. I said, we understand that. Go back and research. I don't know who shared it, but someone researched it that even in the application for the patent, it shows it coming over the top. So we have history on our side also. But I said, that's not something. You say, well, we're a congregation and we make decisions. We're not worried about that stuff. Not worried about, we're talking about serving the Lord. Christ is the head of the church. The autonomy of the local church as we look at this. And may I say this, as the local church as opposed to a universal church. I understand there's one body of Christ. I understand that. That's the family of God. But God is manifested through the local bodies that assemble together. Okay? And so this local body that God has put together here in Concord, guess what? We take care of Concord. This is us. And I'm thankful for that. I don't think I'd have it any other way. And I believe it comes back to the New Testament pattern. I believe we can follow it up with Scripture, and we see the application throughout every one of these church groups that the Apostle Paul was able to minister to. Now, being the evangelist and missionary church planter that the Apostle Paul was, guess what? He still had responsibilities back to the church, okay? And I could share, here's one of the things where some people go to in the book of Acts. There was a council at Jerusalem. And there were some issues that were taking place, some things that were being taught over there at Antioch in some of the Gentile churches. And they took it back to Jerusalem and said, what does the council at Jerusalem say? Someone was asking me about that one day. And they said, isn't that biblical evidence for there ought to be a council set up to be able to oversee and be able to keep these churches doctrinally pure and headed the right direction? So I went back over and started researching. I got my notes written down, and I said, no. I said, and here's the reason. I taught about it right here at the church on a Thursday night. I said, the reason they went back to Jerusalem is because it was a group from Jerusalem and the church there that was actually teaching the false doctrine to the Gentiles. And so they took them, and they went back the same way. Hey, we have Brother Matthew Frank. Today, he's preaching in Arkansas. If Matthew Frank, our missionary with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, gets up and starts preaching something contrary to the Word of God, guess who they're going to call? I'll get the phone call right here. And if it has to go far enough, you know what I do? Is we'll take that before the church and say, hey, Matthew Frank's been teaching false doctrine over there. We need to deal with it. It came back to the church at Jerusalem because that's where those men were sent out of, saying, you need going to the Gentiles, saying, you need to do this as a result of your salvation. And they went back there and said, no, we went to church at Jerusalem. Your men are preaching this out there. This doesn't apply to us over there. They got the whole thing settled. Went back to Jerusalem. That's why. And I said, rightfully so, because guess who's responsible? And let me clear this up, because he's probably going to watch this message here in a little while. Let me clear this up, Brother Matthew. We know that you're not teaching false doctrine out there, okay? Because he watches every message on Sunday afternoon. He'll watch every one of them. But it comes back to this congregation. And guess who's responsible if someone does go off doctrine-wise? Comes back to this church right here. Do you know we ought to have mature enough Christians that know their Bible that if someone or something is going wrong doctrine-wise, it's our responsibility to make sure it's taken care of. Now, can I take that a step further? The pastor's not above that. Okay, now listen to me. I'm talking about if the pastor's off on doctrine, then it's your responsibility to get with the pastor and take care of that. And if he's not changing, it's your responsibility to get rid of the pastor. To keep the church pure, to keep it headed the right direction, you say, oh, no, I don't think I'd ever do that. Hey, listen, the pastor's not above the responsibility of the church to be kept pure and to be kept holy. Well, what about the Bible where it says, touch not the Lord's anointed? Well, first of all, the Bible never says that in those words. David said, I'll touch not the anointed of the Lord. So we'll just get that statement right, first of all, okay? But I'm still a brother in Christ, and you know something? If there comes a day that I ever go off doctrinally, guess what? There's no church headquarters somewhere that's going to come in here and check on Granite State and get rid of the pastor that's gone off doctrinally. You know whose responsibility is? Granite State Baptist Church. Do you realize the responsibility that puts on the church? Make sure we know our Bibles, make sure we understand doctrine, make sure we're living right, and that we do what's right. That's a responsibility we have. And we have it as brothers and sisters in Christ, too. If you see a brother, according to Scriptures, overtaken in a fall, guess what? They're supposed to be spiritual ones. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That's our responsibility as a church family. We can't turn them into a church hierarchy somewhere. We take care of it here as a church. Now, you can look at all the downside of that if you want to, that there's no place that's just going to write a check, and you never know what God will do on property next door. I'm not worried about that. But can I say this? It comes back to us and our responsibility as Granite State Baptist Church to take care of the ministry that God's given to us. And the body that he's put us in. Understanding, listen, I'm just to take oversight as a pastor. Okay? I'm not here, I'm not even here, and I don't use these terms. I'm not here in the place of Christ, okay, with him being the head of the church. I don't like a pastor being referred to like that. I'm here to take oversight. I'm a member of the church. God's given us this responsibility, and I have no problem whatsoever, full confidence, I know who the pastor at Granite State Baptist Church is. There's no problem there. I know what God's called me to do. But I also know what God's called our church to do. And so it's this congregation that will stand before the Lord, and we're responsible for what we've done with it. And I'm thankful for how God's established it. And I'm thankful there's not a king somewhere that is overseeing. I'm thankful there's not a president or a leader that's just going to march everybody through a river and to be able to baptize them and call them Christian. That's not the role of the government. And so we are autonomous. We are independent. And we believe that Christ is the head of the church. Is that as clear as it can be made through this afternoon? We believe that Christ is the head of the church. This congregation takes care of the ministries that God has given to us here in Concord, New Hampshire. Now, next week we're going to get into the letter P. And I could share a couple different doctrines from the scripture that we hold to on that, and then whichever one you want to use for your acrostic, you can do that. But I will say this, it's not going to be perseverance of the saints. Not going to be perseverance of the saints. We're not going there, okay? And Christ takes care of us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And but I am thankful for this, that we've been chosen to be a royal priesthood. Oh, what did I just give it away for next week? And so thankful for who He allows us to be. Amen. And so listen, that's who we are. We're Baptist. The Bible is our final authority. And you say, well, I'm ashamed to be called a Baptist. If you're a member here, we're Baptist. We're Baptist. Okay? Now, I'm a Christian first. I'm a child of God. Okay? And Baptist describes the doctrine that we hold to and what we believe. Okay?